When my oldest son was 10 years old, he was helping his friend and his friend's dad put brakes in their 4x4 two-ton truck. Everyone went in to eat, and my son stayed outside to try and fix the rest of the brakes. You know how boys are. As he was trying to pull the brake off, he shifted the truck, and the jack fell off, and the front axle fell on my son's left side. Everyone heard him screaming, but they didn't know it was my son because they thought he was in the house with the rest of them. He said while they were trying to get the truck off him, he saw my grandfather, who had died 3 weeks earlier, and he had said to him that everything was going to be okay and that he wasn't going to die. This is a miracle because he did recover fully with no brain damage, no neurological damage, only a scar that goes from his temple to the back of his head. I think my grandpa saved his life because my son and him were the best of buds. By Wendy. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Carla Wills Brandon, and you are about to take a walk to the other side. Welcome. This is the show that discusses life, life after this life, and how contact is made with the other side. Here you will learn things your clergy and modern science are afraid to discuss with you. Unlike Madonna, who continues to hang herself from a cross thinking she is going to make major spiritual change, we do it differently. We chip away at the dogma society has thrust upon us by examining real accounts of afterlife contact. By examining these spiritually transformative experiences, we quickly see there is more to life than what we see on this dimension. And gang, right now this dimension's getting kind of scary. And we learn that our loved ones who have crossed over still love us, care about us, and want to communicate with us. So what do you think about life after death? Communication. Do our departed loved ones still keep tabs on us? Lend me a helping hand. If you think this happens, I want you to email me. I want you to share these experiences with me. Send them to drsbrandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, at sbcglobal.net, or go to bbsradio.com and post it on the TNT message board. I woke up to someone calling my name. Sleepily rubbing my eyes, I turned my head to focus in on the doorway to my bedroom, and there stood my Aunt Linda. She was standing there in a floral print sweater and a dark skirt. And in other parts of the house, I could hear the girls fixing breakfast in the kitchen. I started to wonder to myself why she was even there. After all, I'd moved to this house over 6 months ago, and I didn't even think she knew how to get to my new home yet. Again, she said my name. My focus went back to her. Then she said, "It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt at all." I then remembered that my aunt had committed suicide by overdosing on pills a couple of days before, and so I panicked and I started to scream right before she disappeared. Guess what my aunt had on the day of, in the funeral home when I went to view her body? If you guessed a floral sweater and a dark skirt, you are correct. As the day proceeded and I tried to make sense of what happened in my bedroom that morning, there was only one conclusion that I could come up with. I had been speaking with a spirit. I'd never mentioned what I saw that morning to my family. I just think that it's too much for them to take, and I still have no idea what she meant by her message. I want to thank you, Stephen Wagner at ParanormalAbout.com, for posting these great after-passing communications. Now, isn't that just typical? Here we have somebody who is visited by her beloved aunt, and she's scared stiff because in our society we're not supposed to talk about these things, gang, so we can't be educated. So, Stephen, thank you for posting these on your wonderful site. Let's go ahead and see what's in the news before we get to the news, which I think most of us are on overload from. Art Bell, age 59, has a new wife, and she's 21. That's only a year older than my son, Aaron. Like his first wife, who passed not long ago, wife number two is Filipino. So Art packed up his Nevada location and moved to the Philippines at the end of April, where he will continue to do his Coast to Coast AM weekend show. His first Coast to Coast show in the Philippines, aired at the end of July. During a typhoon that was raging through the islands, Bud Bell, his bride, and their cats did just fine. To see pictures of his wedding, you can go to www.coasttocoastam.com and just look for the pictures, and you will find them. I have to tell you, I was in Alaska, and it stays light all night there, and so my hubby and I, we were out, you know, taking in some of the cool scenery, and we had the radio on, and here comes Art in this typhoon. I actually did a radio show with him years ago. It was a very interesting experience. And Mary Sutherland, the host of the popular BUFO radio show, has put together a great, this is wonderful, a great 8 to 9 minute short movie which has some incredible UFO footage. Whether you believe in UFOs or not, you really have to take a look at this. Click the following link to listen to this 9 minute movie. And what it is, it's www.burlingtonnews.net. And I'm sure that she will have information on that site which discusses how you can get in touch with her movie and how you can see it. It was a great movie, Mary. I really enjoyed it. What did you guys think about my interview with Dr. Ron Leon last week? Was that a smart guy or what? I mean, I forgot to ask him questions. I was learning so much. On the island and in different areas, I have done lots of exploration into houses that are supposedly haunted, but I sure learned a lot from him. Wouldn't you love his job? And as the researcher and development for the popular sci-fi channel television show, Ghost Hunters, he gets to try out all of those great gadgets. According to news reports, the TAPS team, these are the ghost hunters, they are giving the viewing audience haunted information. I mean, not the goofy stuff that we see on TV where they have, oh, maybe it's the Travel Channel. I mean, sometimes they do a good job, but a lot of that stuff is so funky. But these guys are they're creating a travel industry just by showing some of these places. According to Enlivened by the Spirit, a story by Melissa Jones, this has happened for one of the places TAPS visited. On that date, and the date is, it's in February, well, this is in October, actually, 2005, the Crescent Hotel and Spa experienced a significant change, and it wasn't just the ghostly one. On that date, a secret the general manager, Jack Moyer, and other staff members had kept for 4 months was finally revealed. It wasn't revealed to just the residents of Eureka Springs, where the Crescent resides atop a steep hill. It was revealed to more than 2.3 million people across the country, according to the Nielsen Media Research. You know, when accurate, scientific, well-researched information like this is put out there, it just gives the rest of us credibility. That was the day Cable Sci-Fi Channel broadcast a Ghost Hunters episode film last summer in Eureka Springs. And the show, of course, features Grant Williams and Jason Hans, plumbers by day, Roto-Rooter gang, this cracks me up, paranormal investigators by night, and the founders of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, or TAPS. This particular episode, Ghostly Soldier Medium House, showed Wilson and Haas, and I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong, wandering through the basement of the 1886 hotel. That was a creepy-looking basement, too. Through an area known as the morgue, where bodies were taken in the hotel's day as a hospital in the 1930s. The men entered a small storage room and panned around the room with a first system thermal imaging camera, some of that high-tech stuff Ron probably put together. The camera revealed paint can laden shelves, an old locker, and a man in a hat who nodded at them, a man who really wasn't there. Things haven't been the same at the hotel since. Paranormal pickup, the episode boosted occupancy at the hotel and attendance of its now nightly ghost tours. If you've never been on a ghost tour, those can actually be kind of fun. They always have lots of them all over the country around Halloween. Some are kind of, you know, schmaltzy, but some are actually really pretty good. The hotel has hosted the Eureka Springs Ghost Tour since 1999. The tours ran on the weekends and closed for the winter, but after June, when the TAPS investigators filmed the Ghost Hunters episode, the group decided to expand the Crescent Tour to 7 nights a week all year long, and it paid off. The hotel never really kept a headcount of the tour's participants until October. In October, the tour had 1,306 participants. In November, when the tour used to shut down, 647 folks still showed up, and 410 toured in December. The show's revelations affected the hotel in other ways. Last summer, the hotel created a new website apart from its main site, www.crescent-hotel.com. The new website, www.americasmosthauntedhotel.com, saw 4,500 new visitors the night the episode aired. The night of the show, our phones they rang off the hook, said the manager. The hotel sold 274 of its paranormal pair packages to allow visitors to stay a night at the Crescent and a night at the nearby Basin Park Hotel, which is also said to be haunted. More than 100 of those room packages were sold in October. We had far and away the best October, November, December, and January we ever had. See what a little positive media, positive media can do. Tempting Taps, Little Rock-based Stone Ward Advertising Agency sent information to the show's producers about the Crescent. The company hoped to tempt the Taps crew to Arkansas to do an investigation. So, you know, other folks, they pick up on this. I've already talked to Ron about coming to Galveston and checking out some of the stuff we have here. We have incredible paranormal activity. The cameras, when visualized temperatures with vibrant color, usually are used by firefighters to find people in burning buildings. These are the kind of cameras these guys use. Well, anyway, they panned over, saw the man, nod, and as Jay was panning back to the right, that's when he realized, whoa, what was that? The man appeared to be standing sideways, his head turned toward the men. As the camera hit him, the man bowed his head, and he appeared to be wearing a cap. Now, that's pretty conscious action, isn't it? That's not like an imprint of spirit activity. That seems pretty conscious. At first, the pair thought it might be Wilson's reflection, but a closer examination of the locker revealed a matte painted finish that was dulled with age and dirt. So it couldn't have been a reflection. Remember, Ron, talking about how you need to know your area. If you suspect it's haunted, you need to check the pipes and you need to understand the house and how it was built and air drafts and all of those things that can be misconstrued as spirit activity. The men later showed it to the firefighters and other professionals accustomed to using thermal imaging camera, but none of them could explain how the man ended up on the film. Wilson said the find gave him chills because it was exactly what they had hoped to get for a long time. It's one thing to look at it, but to actually find it, that's a different situation. I could tell the moment that I met them afterwards that they were different. There was a clear shift in attitude from arrival to departure, that's for sure. This is when sharing the information with the staff. So what happens, see, the reason why TAPS and organizations like this are so important is because, you know, you can have somebody who says, wow, my place is haunted, I've got something going on there, and you can have people who are very skeptical of this, but having sophisticated proof from somebody like Ron, who works with the Department of Defense of all things, who does things for the Department of Defense, this really does add credibility to the whole field. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great to get this information out there. But, of course, you know, a couple of weeks ago we talked a little bit about the skeptics. They always have to come in and they always have to slam dunk everyone, and of course my favorite person, Joe Nickel, had to come on board and offer his 2 cents. So here you have these guys who are using very sophisticated information, sophisticated technology, They have skeptics with them who are convinced that something is up with this hotel. But no, Joe Nickel, who I can't really get a lot of information on. If any of you have information on him, I have Googled him, I have researched him. I can't get a lot of information about this guy. Here's what he says. There's never been scientific evidence of ghosts. Science has never authenticated a ghost. Of course, Joe Nickel, senior research fellow for the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, known as PsyCops, who, as I shared with all of you, do not research. They present themselves as a research organization, but they do not research. The concept of a life force not dissipating when the body died, but staying around and reacting with intelligence doesn't seem logical. Well, Joe, if it doesn't seem logical, I guess it doesn't happen, hey? The idea is just totally, totally incompatible with science. That's such bunk. Ghost hunting isn't truly a scientific endeavor because it isn't done by true scientists. Yes, and the members of PsyCops, many of whom are magicians, are true scientists. He said he watched the exclusive video clip from Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Channel's website, which featured the image captured in the basement of the Crescent. Is there something on that video? Yes, what does it mean? It means nothing. It isn't evidence that would hold up in a court of law, he said. I could think of several possible explanations of their sequence, the least likely of which, by a hundredfold, is a ghost. Nickel said most talk of the paranormal is based on illogical claims that assume that because something cannot be explained, it must be related to ghosts. Joe, start reading the research. Go to IANS. International Association of Near-Death Studies, and read what those scientists are discovering with their research, scientific research. When you say, I don't know, you cannot then draw a conclusion. That's faulty logic. Logic or not, a February 2003 poll from Harris Interactive found that 51% of Americans believe in ghosts. Of the different age groups polled, 65% of those ages, 25 to 29 believed in ghosts, while only 27% of those older than 65 believed. Now, of course, looking at different polls, you're going to get some different numbers depending on who's collecting that information. The reports of paranormal activity have meant big business for the Crescent, as well as more ghost stories to add to their collection. The number of people seeking us out is way up, and yes, we've had more ghost stories submitted. Moyer said he hoped, this is the manager, the hotel would get another boost when the show returned. And I wish they would show it every month. Well, of course you do. The Sci-Fi Channel will rebroadcast the Ghost Hunters episode, Ghostly Soldier, again. So just keep your eyelids peeled for that. A clip of the show featuring the discovery of the basement can be seen by clicking the box in the top right of the web page at TAPS with the headline Exclusive Case File Video. Remember our story on Rosalind Chapel, home to a sect of the Knights of Templar and the Sinclair family, not to mention a favorite travel destination of yours, truly. Though Da Vinci Code madness is finally dying down, hallelujah, spirit activity in Scotland is just as active as ever. From Edinburgh Evening and News, Saturday, July 29th of 2006, actors rehearsing in Rosalind Chapel for a festival play claim to have spotted two ghosts in the famous building. Now, it's an awesome place to visit. If you ever get a chance and you go to Edinburgh, take the bus, the city bus, out to Rosalind and walk, oh, I don't know, it's about a half a mile to the chapel and go take a look. A cast member reported seeing a fairy-like figure in the grounds of the chapel, while another said they spotted a person inside the building itself. The actors were preparing to perform A Midsummer Night's Dream, which was being produced by the Rosalind-based Nonsense Room Productions. The producer, who also works as a tour guide at the chapel and appeared as an extra in Tom Hanks' blockbuster film, The Da Vinci Code, said strange sightings were not unusual at Rosalind Chapel. Last year we were rehearsing for a friend show, and when I was locking up, I heard a child's voice in the crypt. Now, the crypt, that's an interesting place. I went down there, and they actually have a Knights of Templar coffin sarcophagus stone, a very interesting place to also visit. And there are some cold spots down there, of course, too. And so I shouted down that I was locking up, he said. When I went down there, however, there was nobody there. Now, I have to tell you that this crypt, it's not like it's a long way down. I mean, there's the chapel, there's the main part of the chapel, and then there's this short little stair, number of stairs that go down into this crypt. So it's not like it's way down underneath the chapel. We've no idea who the ghosts might be, but it certainly seems that they are budding thespians, and they have certainly livened up our rehearsals. The Scots are funny. They seem to have no problem with spirit activity. Well, Scotland and the UK in general have a long history of experience with the other side. And according to the BBC News, one of my most unfavorite news organizations, but this article did catch my attention. Britain's report in a news article titled Psychic Powers, and this is May 26, 2006. More than half of Britons believe in psychic powers such as mind reading and premonitions, the survey suggests. Now, if you ever go to London, of course, after today's happenings and last summer's happenings, I was in London in January, and it's a little tense over there. Basically, you're very safe over there, so don't listen to the media if they try to scare you. They have cameras everywhere. The tube is safe, regardless of, yes, there was the tragedy last year, but every time I go to London, I am a faithful tube rider. I get everywhere I need to go in a split second. But the Brits also, they have lots and lots, I've told you this before, they have lots and lots of great metaphysical bookstores around town. And also spiritualism is very active in the UK. You have these people who, they gather in these spiritual churches and they learn how to become mediums, and they're very successful at it. Of 1,006 adults polled for Reader's Digest magazine, I guess Britain form, 43% reported reading others' thoughts or having theirs read. That's a huge percentage. More than half had had a dream or premonition of an event before it happened, and 26 said they had sensed when a loved one was ill or in trouble. A fifth said they had seen a ghost. A fifth. That's a large percentage. And 29% believed near-death experience were evidence there was an afterlife. Of those questions, 43% claimed to have tapped into other people's thoughts or to have had their own minds read by someone else. They're not as strange. They don't seem to be as closeted as we are in this country. It's like in this country, people are either over the top with regard to paranormal activity, or they stay closeted because they're afraid of being ridiculed. In the UK, when I've gone over there, and I've gone over there a lot, I've done a lot of workshops over there on basically post-traumatic stress syndrome, but when I've gone over there, it's been interesting to see how freely people talk about the paranormal without any shame. More than two-thirds said they could sense when someone was looking at them, a spirit, and 62 could tell when ringing before they picked up the phone. So 62% polled said that they could tell that somebody was going to call them before they picked up the phone. More than 10% thought they could influence machinery or electronic equipment using their minds. Women were more likely to believe in the paranormal than men, though 53% of males said they sometimes knew who was ringing before picking up the phone. 53%! And 45% had experienced dream or premonitions before an event occurred. Despite the high numbers who said they had experienced such phenomenon, listen to this, only 9% described themselves as psychic. In this country, what happens is somebody, you know, you have these folks, if they have a paranormal experience, they hang out their psychic shingle, and they give those of us who really are serious about this stuff a really bad name. But in the UK, it's totally different. Only 9% describe themselves as psychics. You actually have people who go to these spiritualist churches, and they have studied mediumship, but they don't call themselves a medium. You have people in the States who go to Chautauqua back east and they study spiritualism, and they have some experiences, and before you know it, they're charging $250 for a session. It's just dreadful. It really upsets me. Simon Bacon, lecturer at London's College of Psychic Studies, you should Google that, it's very interesting, and a practicing medium, said, when you say psychic, many people have an image of an old woman in a gown with a crystal ball. They don't associate themselves with that. Older people are more likely to believe in the paranormal, with 74% of 55 to 65-year-olds saying they thought psychic powers were possible, compared to 52% of 18 to 24-year-olds. So see, we have different polling here. The deputy, okay, let's talk about the skeptics. They always have to chime in here. Deputy editor of the new Humanist magazine, published by the Rationalist Association, said the idea that people could possess psychic powers was rubbish. This is a Mr. Reddy. Mr. Reddy said, most people encounter mediums and psychics and so on at fairgrounds, and while it stays as entertainment, it is fine, but when people start ruling their lives by it, it's quite another thing. Now, to a degree, I sort of agree with him. I still believe you can be your own best psychic. He told BBC News, belief in many types of psychic powers stemmed from a desire for control. He said the implication is that we hope that there is some influence we can tap into. It's kicking against the randomness of things. He said it was easy to look back on an event with hindsight and say, I knew that was going to happen. Yet it's sometimes people who say, I knew something bad would happen, or just worriers anyway, and they are pleased to have finally been proven right. Well, I guess my friend Chris Robinson, who predicted the 9/11 World Trade Center attacks, I guess he's just a worrywart. I guess, you know, this is a guy who works with Scotland Yard. He works regularly with Scotland Yard. He'll dream a crime before it happens, and then he will go to Scotland Yard, and he's done quite a bit of work with Scotland Yard. A Church of England spokesman, according to the BBC, said, when asked for a comment, said, it was not the type of subject the church could comment on. Let's just say the Church of England is not real happy with the spiritualist communities that have popped up all over the UK. Big surprise, the Church of England could not comment. But are religion and the spirit world actually at odds? Can one not investigate the paranormal if they are a church-going, temple-hopping, mosque-devoted soul? According to the following story, this just isn't the case. This comes from Inquirer Lifestyle, Inner Awareness, and it was put together by Jamie LaCayu Co. And the date on this is August 1st, 2006. And the title of it is It, No Conflict Between Religion and the Paranormal. Isn't that refreshing? Isn't that absolutely refreshing? This guy was interviewed, and this article also appeared in the Philippine Daily Inquirer. Here are questions that were asked of the individual who believes that religion and the paranormal can go hand in hand, and his name is Julian Cuella. Here are the rest of Julian Cuella's questions about my work in parapsychology or psychic research. Okay, so Julian Cuella is obviously, he is the one asking the questions of the individual who is answering the questions for this article. Okay, what is the Inner Mind Development Institute? That's what he is asking. Who is this individual? Jamie LaCayu Co. It is a small organization I established in 1988 aimed at expanding people's consciousness and hastening their evolution. It develops and conducts training programs and workshops to develop people's inner mental facilities and powers. If you are looking for a school to enhance your own psychic abilities, please be careful. There are a lot of charlatans out there who would love to take your money. If you find some of these places online on the net, check them out. Don't be a dingbat and just, you know, send your money in or give your credit card. Investigate. I get so many emails from people who have wanted to participate in some of these so-called schools, and they've been scammed. But the Inner Mind Development Institute is actually a bona fide place. My background is business management. I've been in the corporate world for over 20 years, specializing in human resources, management training, and development, as well as a consultant. How would you key in religion with the paranormal, the interviewer asks. I see no conflict nor incompatibility with religion and paranormal phenomena. As a matter of fact, all religions, whether Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, or Christianity, started with a paranormal phenomena, with a vision or a contact with a supernatural or divine being, and that is true. Since I believe that truth is one, it cannot contradict itself, truth is truth whether it comes from God or the devil himself. I think the problem lies in an erroneous assumption, especially by Christian religious authorities, that everything that is paranormal or supernatural must come from the dark side. That is not true at all. Even Jesus Christ performed so many paranormal wonders, like when he predicted the future and read other people's mind. Calling them miracles does not change their paranormal nature. How does science fit in with the mystical and paranormal? Again, I say, true science cannot be in conflict with paranormal phenomena. However, because of the reductionist, rationalistic, and materialistic paradigm that modern science has adopted, it has eliminated many aspects of reality that fall outside its chosen categories. What was that magazine called? Rationalist something in the last segment when I was talking to you about the last article. About Roslyn Chapel. So consciousness, the spiritual, and the metaphysical are considered outside the scope of materialistic science. But true science should encompass all of reality, should it not? But as things now stand, science and the so-called paranormal phenomena seem to be incompatible. In fact, the paranormal is defined as that outside the scope of what science considers normal. Well, basically, the paranormal can't be controlled. And so all these skeptics talk about how those of us who are investigating the paranormal are looking for control. That's the only reason why we're doing this. In reality, we all understand that you can't control the paranormal. It's really difficult to measure. It doesn't come quantitatively. It's not like you can measure it in a measuring cup. And so, actually, if you look at it rationally, the skeptics are the ones who are having a hard time with the paranormal because of control. It's all about control. So there you are. The conflict between the two is a question. It's a question of definition. It is more superficial and accidental rather than substantial or essential. Substantial. Okay. Quantum physics is even proven that the chair that I'm sitting in right now, the chair that my tuchus is in, is not substantial. The living are very much affected by spirits, but are spirits also affected by the living? The answer is yes. When a person dies suddenly, either because of accident, violence, or sickness, his, her consciousness is still here on earth among the living. Now, I do know a guy in Russia who has researched this. If you want more information on that, though, you're going to have to email me at drsbrandon@sbcglobal.com. If he or she has any unfinished business, his or her spirit can be seen by sensitive individuals. The dead will still be affected by the affairs and thoughts about them by living relatives, close friends, and other persons significant to them when they were alive. That's why it's wrong to get into excessive mourning with the passing of a loved one. Now, I disagree there because I think you need to mourn all you need to mourn. That's, we're going to part the ways there. How do you feel about television shows or movies that depict the mystical and the paranormal? I love this answer. I just hate TV. I really do. I hate TV. I'm going to get real Texas on you. I hate TV, y'all. They are mostly unrealistic and exaggerated. The Sixth Sense, I still go back to The Sixth Sense, the movie The Sixth Sense, the blockbuster The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis, Mr. Action Figure himself. And all of the spirits were depicted as being torn, even on Rescue Me, the Fox show about the firefighters, when the main character, the blonde guy, Dennis Leary, sees spirits, they're always sort of banged up and beaten up, and, well, it doesn't actually work that way, gang. At least it hasn't for me. They are unrealistic and exaggerated. Some are downright false. This seems especially true of local shows. Their only objective seems to be merely to scare people, not to educate or inform them of the facts about these mysterious happenings. That's why I have a hard time with, like, some of these shows that come on the Discovery Channel or the Travel Channel, because even they sort of make it, it's almost as if they, you know, they try to scare people. They don't provide information because, God forbid, that's not sensationalistic enough. So what they do is they make it a little spooky. At least some foreign productions are well-researched and more realistic. A few outstanding examples are Ghost, starring Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze. He says The Sixth Sense. Again, he and I are going to have to disagree. What would you say to the skeptical and non-believers of the paranormal? Nothing. Okay, so here's somebody who's just not even going to discuss anything with them. I have no interest in converting them to my way of thinking. You know what's interesting? For people who have really experienced the other side, who have seen it, felt it, touched it, really sensed it, when you talk to them, they will say the same thing. Why on earth am I going to waste my time trying to talk to someone like Joe Nickel or the amazing Randy or any other skeptic? No matter what I do, they're just going to want to debate me, and they're not going to really hear me. Why on earth would I want to waste my time? I hear that from a lot of people. I get a lot of emails. Why, Carla, why do you even bother? Carla, just leave it alone. Even though I've had experiences and seen some incredible things and had visitations in spirit form from relatives, there is still this part of me that gets so angry with all the press and sensationalistic media attention that these skeptics get. And there it is. That's what it's about. It's about sensationalism. And it's about ratings, and it's about money, gang. Maybe one thing I would tell them is do your homework. Conduct some in-depth research and serious reading before making any conclusions or before dismissing these things as nonsense. So did Joe Nickel with TAPS in reviewing the footage that the guys picked up in that basement with very high-tech equipment, did he read up on the equipment? Did he make a statement about the equipment? Did he really research the organization? Does he really know what it is they do? Absolutely not. He had a chance to get his mug on TV. I find it so irritating. I held the same skepticism before I started investigating thoroughly these phenomena. I thought they were nonsense and a product of people's fertile imagination until I came across real scientific data and extensive research supporting belief in them. So, unless they have proof of the phenomenon's validity or experience the events themselves, they are correct in not believing. So, what does that tell you, folks? What that tells you is that you probably need to get online if you are skeptical. Listen, being a skeptic is not a bad thing. The definition of a skeptic is someone who reserves judgment before all of the information is in, okay? So I am still very skeptical about a lot of paranormal reports, activity, and what that means is I am reserving judgment. I was on a talk show years ago, and somebody asked me about the phenomenon of walk-ins, and what a walk-in supposedly is when a spirit walks in and one spirit inhabiting a body leaves and another one walks in. Well, I don't have an opinion right now on that because I don't have a lot of information about that. And so I wasn't going to draw a conclusion on this radio show with regard to that topic because I'm ignorant when it comes to that topic. So maybe over the years I'll form an opinion. But that's what a skeptic is. Not only do many religious people see the paranormal and spirituality walking hand in hand, but scientists are definitely jumping on board. Yes, they are, gang. So here we are. Let's go back to Britain again and the Sunday's Times. The Sunday Times, June 11th, 2006. Article, I found God, says a man who cracked the genome by Steve Swinford. And I'm sure I said that wrong, too. The scientist who led the team that cracked the human genogram is to publish a book explaining why he now believes in the existence of God and is convinced that miracles are real. Francis Collins, the director of the U.S. National Human Geogram Research Institute, claims there is a rational basis for a creator and that scientific discoveries bring man closer to God. The book, The Language of God, to be published in September 2006, next month, will reopen the age-old debate about the relationship between science and faith. One of the great tragedies of our time is this impression that has been created that science and religion have been at war, said Collins. I don't see that as necessary at all, and I think it is deeply disappointing that the shrill voices that occupy the extremes of the spectrum have dominated the stage for the past 20 years. For Collins, unraveling the human geogram did not create a conflict in his mind. Instead, it allowed him to glimpse the workings of God. When you make a breakthrough, and I can't imagine discovering that, can you? Can you imagine finding that, seeing that, exploring that, being the one who puts that out there? When you make a breakthrough, it is a moment of scientific exhilaration because you have been on this search and seem to have found it, he said. But it is also a moment where I at least feel closeness to the Creator in the sense of having now perceived something that no human knew before, but God knew all along. When you have, for the first time in front of you, this 3.1 billion letter instruction, genetic instruction book that conveys all kinds of information and all kinds of mystery about humankind, you can't survey what's going through page after page without a sense of awe. I can't help but look at those pages and have a vague sense that this is giving me a glimpse of God's mind. Collins joins a line of scientists whose research deepened their belief in God. Isaac Newton, whose discovery of the laws of gravity reshaped our understanding of the universe, said, "The most beautiful system could only proceed from the dominion of an intelligent and powerful being." Although Einstein revolutionized our thinking about time, gravity, and the conversion of matter to energy, he believed the universe had a creator. "I want to know his thoughts. The rest are details," he said. However, Galileo was famously questioned by the Inquisition and put on trial in 1633 for the heresy of claiming that the earth moved around the sun. Among Collins' most controversial beliefs is that of theistic evolution, which claims natural selection is the tool that God chose to create man. Well, holy Toledo, what do we have here? We have evolution from a religious perspective. Oh, my goodness sakes. Oh, my goodness sakes. In his version of the theory, he argues that man will not evolve further. Well, I don't know about that. I see God's hand at work through the mechanism of evolution. If God chose to create human beings in his image and decided that the mechanism of evolution was an elegant way to accomplish that goal, who are we to say that this is not the way? Scientifically, the forces of evolution by natural selection have been profoundly affected for humankind by the changes in culture and environment and the expansion of the human species to 6 billion members. So what you see is pretty much what you get. Collins was an atheist until the age of 27 when, as a young doctor, he was impressed by the strength that faith gave to some of his most critical patients. They had terrible diseases from which they were probably not going to escape, and yet instead of railing at God, they seemed to lean on their faith as a source of great comfort and reassurance. He decided to visit a Methodist minister and was given a copy of C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, which argues that God is a rational possibility. The book transformed his life. It was an argument I was not prepared to hear. I was very happy with the idea that God didn't exist and had no interest for me, and yet at the same time, I could not turn away. His epiphany came when he went hiking through the mountains in Washington State. He said it was a beautiful afternoon, and suddenly the remarkable beauty of creation around him so overwhelmed him, he could not resist the sensation. That is a spiritually transformative experience, when you feel that incredibly connectedness, that incredible sense of connectedness with every single rock and plant and star and drop of water and human being in the universe. Collins believes that science cannot be used to refute the existence of God because it is confined to the natural world. In this light, he believes miracles are a real possibility. Well, he experienced a miracle. If one is willing to accept the existence of God or some supernatural force outside nature, then it is not a logical problem to admit that occasionally a supernatural force might stage an invasion. That's brilliant. Okay, you guys, tonight's show was very disrupted. It was disrupted. I've been dealing with relatives in Haifa. It's been a very overwhelming time for everybody. And I want to take a few moments to respond to some of the email I have received from some of you in response to my stance on the war in Israel. I try to keep this show on a spiritual plane, but gang, when I get pushed, I sometimes need to push back. And several of you have given me a lot of grief for supporting Israel's right to defend herself. And I suspect that you don't know that I'm not only Jewish, but as I said, that we have a lot of relatives in Haifa, and that right now Haifa is going through a really, really rough time. I also spent years trying to understand how the suffering of relatives, my relatives, in Stalin's gulags during the Cold War impacted me and my generation. It's actually at the base of so much family of origin dysfunction. So here's my one-time statement on this situation, and if you have more questions, feel free to email me. But our family has relatives in Haifa, and as I said, right now they're having a rough time. Actually, they're getting the crap bombed out of them. And I received an email just a couple of hours ago from one cousin, and they sounded very distraught and very distressed and very overwhelmed, and they're very confused. They don't understand why so many people in the rest of the world community are condemning them when they've got rockets falling in their backyard. And we'll find out tomorrow. We'll give them a call tomorrow to see how they're doing. We also, some friends of ours who are living just south of Haifa had to leave their homes 2 weeks ago. So we, in our family, are being confronted on a daily basis here in the States with political armchair know-it-alls, and not only in the United States, but also in Europe. And these individuals, I'm going to tell you, folks, they don't have all the facts. These are individuals who have never experienced difficulty, been in a war, suffered directly or indirectly the consequences of a Holocaust, a gulag, or a concentration camp. These same people are telling me and other Jews and people in Israel that Hezbollah is not a terrorist organization and that we should be ashamed of ourselves for supporting Israel. I mean, I received an email that basically said that to me in so many words, that Israel is immoral, unjust, and brutal. Many of us in my community talk about this current situation. We've been doing so for years. We discuss anti-Semitism. My family has experienced anti-Semitism, I'm not going to go into all of that, but some of it has been very, it has involved us taking one of my sons out of a school, one school, and putting him in another school. So we are very aware of anti-Semitic websites, literature, television programs, murders, plots in the United States, in Europe, and the Middle East, and we have been so for years. We have lists and lists and lists of these websites. Last night, I was actually with someone from who was a member, who was a colonel with the Israeli Defense. And this is a man who was born in Haifa, and he had a great deal of accurate information on how the politics of the Middle East and the struggle for power has set this situation up. It was most enlightening, to say the least. Now, gang, one of the things he said to us was, don't believe everything the media says. The left is too left. The right is too right. Everybody is out for brownie points. You know, there's a story about a dog and a man. Now, when the dog bites the man, when it hits the news, no one shows much interest, do they? It's a dog biting a man. Okay, so the man goes and gets some stitches. You know, he takes care of it. But when the man bites the dog, what happens? Oh, that's news. Everybody comes unglued. It's a really big deal because it's huge. A man biting a dog, it's sensational. It sells newspapers. So, gang, that's what our media is doing. He also discussed how Hezbollah is staging a lot of media events. You can find a lot of that information on the net. I've got lots and lots of sources for that. You can email me if you're interested. This year, my family was very involved in the rescue of Ethiopian Jews who were stranded in poverty and they were at risk for being annihilated. The rescue mission took them to Israel, and the members of my family flew with this rescue mission. But, gang, BBC won't file on this report. MSNBC and NPR won't rush out to get the story, and human rights organizations won't openly support this good deed because it's not the man biting the dog. It's not sensational enough. But we will not support the notion that Israel is not vulnerable to genocide by Hamas. We've been there before. My family has been there before. My aunt was in Auschwitz. As I said, relatives were in gulags. We know what potential genocide is like. In Darfur, there's genocide going on right now. The politics of the Middle East are more complicated than most of us realize. And gang, if you just get all of your information from the main media, you're not going to get much. Actually, the media is pretty one-sided in one extreme or the other in this country. What we hear from Israel, from family, from friends, and Muslims, from moderate Muslims who, they are not the Muslims running around in the streets screaming and yelling for the annihilation of Israel. They are just as confused and concerned as the rest of us. But what is being presented in the American and much of the European media, of course the Middle Eastern media, is very, very slanted, false, and untrue. As I said, we have known for many, many years that Islamic extremists want to wipe us off the face of the earth. They want to wipe us off the face of the earth, and then they will come after anybody else who doesn't agree with them. You guys think the skeptics are bad? You think the skeptics are closeting us? What would happen to us if I couldn't come on this radio show and talk to you and debate about the skeptics and how I feel about them or the religious right? I have the freedom to do that. European countries who've experienced terrorism continue, some of them, not all of them, say there are some people who are saying that we need to dialogue with Hezbollah. If you really look closely at why they are saying these things, if you really dig deeply, what you're gonna see you're gonna see the word oil. It's about oil. Basically, this is validated to us by the Israeli Defense colonel from Haifa. While in London, I ran into skinheads with swastikas tattooed in their teeth. I've listened to certain Europeans who are very anti-Semitic while over there. I've been everywhere. I've been to many countries in the in Eastern Europe and, of course, in Western Europe, and anti-Semitism is alive and well. And anybody who supports the Jewish state also is viewed by these individuals as an enemy. You need to know that. In such situations, I have been quick to hide any signs of my own Jewishness when alone. While in Austria, my husband and I evacuated a tube line because anti-Semitic skinheads were tearing the place up. I've also been to KKK rallies, and I photographed four organizations such as the Anti-Defamation League, Klansmen, men, women, and children dressed in robes, archaic robes, chanting messages of hate. And I could go on, but I'm going to stop there. I support Israel not only because I'm a Jew and have family in Israel, but because I don't depend on the run-of-the-mill media to provide me with non-polarized information. I support Israel because it's democratic and because the information that I am receiving might be real different than the information you're receiving. I have taken it upon my research, as my family has done, as many people I know have done, to research all the facts. So, gang, be responsible. Don't just sit back and be spoon-fed by organizations that are going after their first Emmy or ratings or politics or power. Be responsible. Also, as you know, one more terrorist plot was exposed today. Now we can't carry lotions in our purses or our backpacks, you know, which really ticks me off, because these goofy terrorists, these savage terrorists, have found a way to get liquid explosives past security at airports. Today I've heard people say, I'm not flying anymore, it's just too dangerous. Well, let me tell you something. Since the Middle East conflict fired up, numerous individuals I have been assisting in my practice have actually worked through a great deal of their own trauma, gang. Don't isolate. Live life. One of the things my cousin said to me in Haifa was that, you know, we're continuing to live life. We get up every morning. We go to work. We do what we need to do. We love our children. We see our grandchildren. We live life. I hear so many people saying, I'm not going to fly anymore. Interestingly, many of my patients, believe it or not, have used some of these conflicts and the fear it has brought up to go back and clear away some of the triggers that they have that are based on their own unresolved trauma, sexual abuse, emotional violation, death, injury, losses. I got an email from somebody today. He lost an eye, and we emailed back and forth about how he's being a little... He has some PTSD stuff happening for him. Secondary post-traumatic stress syndrome, this is something else you need to be aware of, involves feelings regarding here and now trauma, combining with those emotions related to past trauma. This combination basically has the potential to create an emotional nuclear bomb, especially if past trauma has not been addressed. So instead of looking at these past traumas, working through the feelings about this, many individuals push such emotions aside and become totally focused on current-day situations. Bush, in my opinion, he's got problems. The man's got problems. This is not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. He has a past cocaine history. He has a past alcohol history. What, this is a newsflash? But when people turn Bush into a demon and give him so much power, they become blocked. They don't see the whole picture. Yeah, he's an idiot. Yes, his cronies, they're all idiots. Yes, they are tripping over themselves left and right. But if you become totally obsessed with that, you're going to miss the whole picture. When people do this, emotions feel extreme and out of control. When powers greater than ourselves appear to be in control of our destiny, this can also trigger what it felt like to be a little kid living in an abusive family being controlled by past abusers. Current players in the limelight, listen to this, gang, they can take on the characteristics of our past offenders. People who raped us, beat us, cheated us, left us, abused us, hurt us. Be careful of that. If we take time to sort out our feelings about past losses, grief, anger, if we use current day affairs to get in touch with what's going on, we can separate them from what's happening in the Middle East. And what happens when we do that is that we have more perspective. We can see it for what it really is. We don't have to lose ourselves in it. By matching feelings with actual incidents, real terror about past terror experience, grief and loss, from feelings about current day affairs, we will be better able to manage our affairs about what is happening in the world today and live life today. Do you know how many people I had emailing me, telling me that this latest situation with the airplane, the plots with the airplanes and the liquid explosives, panic attacks, and I'm afraid to leave my house, and oh, this is just overwhelming me. Well, these were people who were triggered. They were overwhelmed. So how do we know when we're having a hard time? When the triggers become too much, action is needed. Otherwise, we can sink into depression. Instead, focus in on how this is triggering you personally, keeping the focus on your history. Try to separate. If you're feeling panicked, scared, overwhelmed, tearful, if your emotions are in the extreme, okay, the terrorists, they're not in your backyard. They're not in your house. But if you're feeling very overwhelmed, you need to take a look at that. Also, watch sugar, caffeine intake. Keep a healthy routine, lifestyle, balanced diet. Up the exercise and get the endorphins going. Taking time to cry. You know, it is okay to cry if you do get overwhelmed. You know, set an ache timer for 10 minutes and let yourself just sob and cry and be really upset. Then call somebody afterwards and talk it out. Get a good night's sleep. Take time out to play. Go to the movies. You know, I wouldn't suggest if you're having a rough time, don't go see the movie 9/11. Don't go see the movie line at 9/11. Let me say it again. Don't go see the movie 9/11. Do not see the miniseries 9/11. If you are overwhelmed, wait until you separate out your history from current day situations. And once you are clear, then by all means, go see the movie. Practice your spirituality. Stick with your spiritual friends, relatives, groups. Practice your form of prayer, meditation, and connection with your concept of spirituality. These are just a few of the suggestions I have been recommending to many trauma survivors over many months. Every time we have a situation like this come up, so many people are triggered and they become so upset. You can also go plug post-traumatic stress syndrome into your website, and there is actually a National Association for Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome. They have a great website. I've done some articles for them. And you can go check that out. They're very focused in on war vets. But a lot of those symptoms, they apply to those individuals who have had rough times early in life or recently. If you're a war vet, you might find yourself feeling a little tense. If you are somebody who was married to a war vet, if you are the child of a war vet, you might be feeling a little triggered. So you might want to go check out that site. So, as I said, it's important to process and to be aware of what is your history and what is here and now history. In other words, personal responsibility, gang. I don't care if you're Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, Hindu, Baha'i, pagan. I don't care if you believe in fairies, druids, warlocks. You know, I just don't care. But what you need to do is you need to be personally responsible. I have a brain. I have a brain, and this brain was given to me so that I could use it to think appropriately. appropriately and to know that when I'm feeling overwhelmed, that I can take action to do something about it. Okay? So, everybody, I'm going to just give you a few websites that you can go to if you're interested in looking at some accurate information about what's going on currently. Arutz Shiva, the Israeli National News, that is a great place to go if you want accurate reporting, and that's A-R-U-T-Z, and then S-H-E-V-A. You can sign up and they will give you updates. They give you unbiased information. Let's see, Camera Media Report. This is Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America. That's Camera, C-A-M-E-R-A, Media Report, not to be confused with the Denver Camera. The Center for Security Policy is another place to go to get some accurate information. Those are a few sites that you can check out on your own if you would like accurate information. Well, we have gone 15 minutes over, so this time has gone by very quickly. Douglas was very kind in allowing me a few extra minutes to be with you tonight. Be sure to tune in to the variety of fine radio programming available to you from BBS if you want the alternative view. And check out the message boards. There's all sorts of interesting stuff there. You can go to the message boards. Go to the TNT message board and read some of the postings. And most of these postings have links that take you elsewhere. You'll get the alternative point of view. Also, we do want to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question about tonight's show, please feel free to email me at drsbrandon@sbcglobal.net. This is Dr. Carla Wills Brandon, and tonight not only have we taken a look at this side, but you have also taken a walk to the other side. Sleep deep, sleep sweet, good dreams, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Good night.